Bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, again we come before you. We ask, O God, that the words spoken now will touch our hearts and our lives. Help us, O God, to have you first and foremost in all that we say or do. And be with this service in each of our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. I must tell Jesus, because he's the only one that can help me. You know, the world tempts us, and the world will try and allure us into sin. And yet, we must tell Jesus, because he is the one that can help us. Our scripture lesson for today is found in Matthew 24, verses 15 through 28. This is part of the Mount Olivet discourse in which Jesus talked to his disciples. And as we look at this discourse, we see that it would take place from about the third verse of chapter 24 all the way through to the end of chapter 25. And so we're only going to be touching on a portion of it. And on this portion, may we see a little bit of the warnings that God has to us and to the world of the things to come. So let us stand as we read 24 verses 15 through 28 in Jesus' name. Therefore, when you see the admonition of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world, until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will gather together. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We see this portion of the discourse, and the disciples had come to Jesus, and they says, let us know and tell us about the end of the time or the end of the age, when you are going to come and set up your kingdom, and when you are going to come and help us to realize what is happening. And then if we were to go back even into the beginning of the chapter, we would see that when they came out from the temple, that they were telling Jesus, look at this beautiful temple and all of how wonderful and splendor it is. And Jesus told them, you know, it won't be long, and this temple will be destroyed, and there will not be one stone left on the other. And it was about 35 years later when Titus, General Titus, came, and he had built a great wall around Jerusalem so they couldn't escape. And he went in and he tore the temple down stone by stone, to get all of the gold and silver out of between the stones. And that temple was torn down, not one stone left on another. And that was approximately 35 years after Jesus was crucified. And he had told them this would happen. And so the disciples at that time could see what Jesus was saying. And if we were to go back into chapter 23, we would see where Jesus had talked to the Pharisees and the scribes, and he gave them about 8 woes of what would happen to them because they did not accept him as the Lord and Savior coming into the world to save the world from its own sin. And then we would go on, and we see only a short portion here of the great tribulation. And we've talked a little bit about this before. But we see that God has giving us another warning. And he is saying, therefore, when you see, he's talking to the Israelites, that when you see the admonition of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then flee to the mountains and do not come down off the housetop to take anything out. And if you're out in the field, he's telling the Jewish people, flee, because great turmoil and great tribulation will come upon the earth. And they are already seeing part of this. And what he is saying is, you don't have time to go home and pick up anything. You don't have time to do anything but run for your lives and to save yourself and to realize that Jesus Christ has come once and he will be coming again. What is this great tribulation that we're talking about, or what is this admonition that he's talking about? And if we go back into Daniel, we see that at that time, they had the worship of sacrifices for their sin. And the new temple that's going to be built in Jerusalem, they have the material already there. They're ready to build it. And the peace plan that will be signed will give them permission, I believe, to build that temple. And they will go back in and they will do sacrifices like they did when they came out of Egypt under Moses. And there are many Jews today, especially the younger ones, that are accepting Jesus Christ, that he has come once. But the older ones and the older leaders, many of them are saying, no, we must continue this sacrifice because Jesus hasn't come yet. And they do not acknowledge that Christ came and died on Calvary's cross for their sins. So if we were to look into Daniel chapter 9, starting with verse 27, we would read this. Then he shall confirm a covenant or a treaty with many for 1 week or 7 years. But in the middle of that week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offerings. And that's when the Antichrist will come into the temple himself. And he will say, you're not having any more sacrifices, because he says, I am God. And he will tell the Jewish people and all of the world, I am God, and he will do many miracles. It says even bringing so much as bringing fire down from heaven. And people will flock to him, and they will follow him, and they will do what he says, because he will have not only himself, but there will be a false prophet and another beast, it says, that will make sure we, or those that are living, follow the Antichrist and do what he says. And he shall bring to an end the sacrifice and offerings, and on the wing of the admonition shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Then it goes on to say, and this is where the Antichrist will have the armies or many people to help him enforce what he is trying to tell the people. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifice and place there the abomination of desolation. And from that time that the daily sacrifices is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days, or about 43 months. And then, you know, then the next verse, 9:23, would tell us, at the beginning of your supplications, he's talking to Daniel now, the angel is talking to Daniel, he says, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. And this angel of God came down, and he told Daniel what he had seen in his dream, in his vision. And he says, it took me 21 days to come through the area that Satan controls, which is the earth and just the atmosphere above it. And he says, I had to call Michael the archangel to help me fight my way down here so I could tell you what this dream was you had. And then he says, I have to go and fight my way back through it so I can go back to God in heaven. Satan has such a stronghold on earth today. And he is taking the leaders of the land and the normal people even, and he is doing all kinds of things with them. And they're following him even without realizing it. And you know, it's been said that most of the people that go into hell will do it by default because they don't want to stir up any trouble and to tell people that they need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, so they'll go along with whatever is in the world at that time. You see, Jesus came, he paid that penalty of sin on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. And as he paid that penalty, he says, it is finished. The work he had come to do was finished. He gave up the ghost and died. The third day he rose again from the dead. And 40 days later, he ascended into heaven, and he's making intercession there now for you and for me before God the Father. So when God looks at us and when we call upon God the Father, he looks on us through the eyes of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. And Jesus then is telling the Israelites here, do not go down into your houses, but to flee. And he's saying, you know, for those that are pregnant or those that are nursing, it's going to be a lot harder for them to flee to the mountains and to hide themselves because of what the Antichrist wants to do. He wants to destroy them. And we have seen and we have heard in the news more times than not that we have to take and get rid of Israel and push them into the sea so they will be remembered no more, is what many of the countries in the Middle East want to do. And yet God says, they are my chosen people. I have chosen them from the days of Abraham, and I have protected them. And yes, because of the hardness of their heart, and they would not listen to me, I have scattered them throughout the world. And then I will bring them back. And he has done that. In 1948, Israel became a state. And in 1967, in the Six-Day War, they had a war against Syria. And they took over Jerusalem again. And when they took over Jerusalem, Jesus says, Jerusalem is my holy city, and that's where I will set up my kingdom when I come. And yet we know that in this great tribulation period, that there will be a time when the people will set up a peace pact with the Antichrist. And this peace pact will be something that will not help Israel. It will not help the world, because Satan is doing it, and the Antichrist himself is the one that is trying to control the world in his own way. And he's saying he is God. He's telling the people, and the people will believe him, and they will go out, and they will live and work for him. And when the Antichrist comes, if you're living in the world and you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord, you can almost be assured that you would be killed like the martyrs under the altar today. And if we were to go back, and we've talked a little bit about this once before, but the first seal tells us that the Antichrist sets up a time. He comes in peaceably, and he sets up a pact then with Israel, and Israel has said, then they're meeting even in a couple of weeks, keep them in prayer, that the Middle East countries are meeting in Geneva, and John Kerry from the United States is heading up the meeting, and they're trying to make a peace pact for even a short while, so that they says we can get a handle on things. And the leaders in Israel are saying, you know, even a poor peace plan would be better than none if it would stop Iran or some of these other countries from continuing making the atomic bomb or the nitrogen bomb and to take and have nuclear warfare. We will see nuclear warfare in the Middle East, I believe. I believe it's almost upon us. We see storms coming upon the world, and we see even the United States will be involved so very, very much in these things. We see we went into Iraq, and before that ended, we were in Afghanistan, and before that ended, we had Libya, and we had Egypt, and now we have Syria, and we still have all of these civil wars going on, and the people there are not taking anything except they want to do away with Christianity, and they want to do away with the Jew. And why? Because the Jews are the chosen people of God, and they want to do away with God, because Satan thinks if he can do away with God's chosen race, he would win the war, and he won't do it because God will intervene. And you know, God could be sitting in the heavens looking at man and laughing, it says in the Psalms, in derision, because the people of the world, they think they know better. And God says, I am still in command. And he tells us that so very, very plain. And you know, we can see that many things are taking place. As we go on with this second seal, we see that there's wars and rumors of wars. And we see that throughout the whole world today. And then we see in the third seal, and we can see some of that happening even today, that the prices of food go sky high. It says that they will say 3 quarts of barley for a denarius for a day's wages. You know, when we look at that and we say, would I pay a day's wages for a loaf of bread? And it's coming to that more and more. We look back in the days, and we can look back in the years of when we were young, and we look at today's prices, and we say, what's happened? Why is it that all of these things have gone so wild? And yet, then we see in the fourth seal, as that comes, it says death will come upon 1/4 of the population of the world. It'll come in the form of war, famine, pestilences, or diseases, and other different things, and 1/4 of the population will be killed or die. And we say, wow, I can't hardly understand that. And then we see the fifth seal, and they turn around and they cry unto Christ, and they say, how long with a loud voice, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was told them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. And this happens as the time goes on. The great tribulation takes place in about the middle of the 7-year period, or the last 3.5 years. And that's when the Antichrist will come into the temple, and he says he's God, and therefore the sacrifices will quit, and he will take over, and he will demand allegiance to himself. You know, God has told us so much. And we see then in the sixth seal that there is great tribulation. I believe it would be a nuclear war. It says that the heavens are shaken and the sun will not give its light, 1/3 of its light. The moon will not give its 1/3 of its light, and the stars of heaven will be fall and not give their light. It sounds like a nuclear blast. And about that time, maybe that's when the Antichrist completely takes over the world. I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me when I read about it. We see in the seventh seal, it brings in the 7 trumpet seals and the 7 bowl seals. And those are the things that God pours out upon man because they have refused to believe what he had done by sending Jesus Christ into the world to save them from their own sin. And we see then so plainly that God says, I am in charge, and I'm going to let you see how angry I am because of what you have done to my name, and how angry I have become because I have been patient with you all of these times, and I have sent prophets and preachers and ministers to you to have you turn from your evil way. And yet man did not do it. We would see that for indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are their barren wombs who never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. And then we could read also from Revelation chapter 6, 16, and verses 16 and 17, and it says this. It says, and they said to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For that great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? We cannot stand before God Almighty, because he is almighty and he is all powerful. And then it tells us, too, that there will be 144 people from Israel that will be sealed with the seal of God. And it is believed that they will be missionaries that will go throughout the world with the final message of God. And more than likely, every one of them probably would be killed or done away with also. And then we see, too, that as those 144 goes out, that we see that the multitude and through the great tribulation that talks about in Revelation chapter 7, and we would go into that, but we don't really have the time today. But we know that there is a great multitude that is saved during that tribulation period, and they will realize that Jesus has come once and he's about to come the second time. And then Jesus tells us too, you know, he says, remember that when they tell you that their Christ is in the desert or in the secret places, do not believe them and do not follow them. And do not go out and see, for false Christs will come and false prophets will arise. And we see that so much too, don't we? We see Muhammad told them that he had to come and finish the work Christ had started because Christ became a rebel. And then we would go into, if we wanted to go into that, we could spend many hours on it. But we aren't going to do that. We do know that his main thing and his main theme is this, that if you don't worship Allah or Muhammad, that you are an infidel. And if you're a Jew or a Christian and you do not recant and become Islamic, you deserve to be killed and beheaded. And that's right in their book of laws, in the Sierra book that they have. And it's in there in more places than not. And yet, these people don't realize that they're following the Antichrist. They don't realize that they are going against what Jesus came into the world when he died for our sins. And they don't realize what the trumpet judgments are about to bring on this world, and the bowl judgments, which is a final judgment that God has against the world, because the world has taken and tried to do away with Jesus Christ. And we see so many times today that they tell us we can pray if we don't use the name Jesus. There's power in that name. The power of salvation is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He is the one that died on the cross for us, and he is the one that gives us salvation. You know, in 2 Thessalonians, we would read, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. You know, when I was studying for this service today, and I came across that, and I thought, wow, how many times I've read this, and it never dawned on me exactly what that was saying. How many times have I read that and I just kind of passed over it? And yet, we are told so plainly that those who are not saved are doing it because they don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. And then in 2 Timothy 2:19, it tells us, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. And in 2 Peter, it would tell us that God knows how to take care of his own. He knows his own, and he says, I will take care of them. And he says, you know, I give you my peace, not as the world gives, do I give you peace, but my peace will pass all understanding, because we can trust in him regardless of what is going on. And then he goes on and he tells us in the scripture too that we are to realize and we are to turn to him and realize that as he comes back into the world, it will be as the lightning from the east to the west. And then he says, you know, for wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will gather. You know, in the Battle of Armageddon, it tells us, and I think I talked about it last week, about how much blood there was going to be shed, and the birds and the vultures will come and have a feast on the people that are killed there. And they will be killed because they are trying to overthrow Jesus Christ, and they'll never do it. Because Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. And you know, it tells us so very plainly too that as we read and study the scripture, that we would find that we can read and God will instruct us as we read the scripture lessons. so very, very plainly. In 2 Peter, it tells us that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They're presumptuous, self-willed, and are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereby angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a riling accusation against them before the Lord. You see, even when Michael the archangel came and disputed with Satan about the body of Moses, he did not take and accuse Satan, but he says, in the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. You are rebuked in the name of God, not in his own name, because in those days they will be like natural beasts, made to cut and destroy and speak evil of things that they do not understand. And they will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes against salvation because they have wanted to do it their own way. You see, we can turn then to Romans, and in chapter 10 in Romans, it tells us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again from the dead, we will be saved. And then in Romans 10:13, it tells us, you know, he who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And we do that in all sincerity and truth. And we can remember that as we call upon God, he will save us. And he will keep us even in the days of trials and temptation. And even if we do have to go through part of this tribulation period, if we trust in Christ and the work he did on Calvary's cross, he will take care of us and help us through this period of hard times and trials and tribulations that goes on throughout all of this time. We pray, O God, that you would help each one of us to serve you and be faithful to you as you have been faithful in dying on the cross for our sin. Help us to serve you, I pray, and to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to